Hi, it's Eric Lors, the Bruce Lee of sales, and you're listening to the Guru Selling System radio show. Now, we've all heard the old adage about, you know, sales is the lifeblood of a business, and this is absolutely true. The thing that most people seem to forget, though, is that lead generation is the lifeblood of sales. And so I always ask my clients, I say, which one would you prefer? Would you prefer the lifeblood or the lifeblood of the lifeblood? And they always say, well, I can't do the lifeblood of the lifeblood first. And what's happening, though, is in today's world, obviously because there's more competition, there's more complexity to solutions and all this other kind of stuff, it's becoming the entire process of lead generation is becoming, especially for high-end sales, complex sales, is becoming itself more complex and more, let's just face it, more of a pain in the butt. There's so many different ways to do lead generation, social media, of course, still, you know, the cold calling, letters, online, offline. There's tons and tons of ways to do lead generation. And the mannerisms, the ways, the messages, all of this is just, it's just a large project to undertake every single time that you do it. And for those who don't know how to do it, those who don't really focus on it, it can seem like even more of a ridiculously Herculean task to undertake. But so to tackle this, to really get to the bone, to the heart of the matter of this, and to really make it easier for you to do lead generation, especially in an ever more complex world, I asked my dear friend Brian Carroll to come on, and we'll be getting to that interview in a second. I asked a lot of questions of him. He gave a lot of great insight. Definitely stick around to the end because he gives a lot of great insight. And for those of you who are, you know, needing to do lead generation, which I think is everybody, especially today, and for those of you who are doing it for more complex sales, Brian is the guy, and you will definitely get well, this was free, so you'll definitely get your money's worth out of listening to this interview. Anyway, without further ado, let's get on over to our interview with Brian Carroll. Oh, okay, and today our guest is Brian Carroll. Now, Brian is the Executive Director of Revenue Optimization at MechLabs. He is also co-founder of InTouch, which is now a part of MechLabs, which is a B2B marketing firm, and one of the first companies to provide lead generation services specifically for complex sales. Brian is also the author of the book Lead Generation for the Complex Sale and a renowned speaker and expert in lead generation. And as a speaker, he speaks to over 20,000 people a year on improving sales effectiveness and lead generation strategies. He's been profiled and regularly quoted in publications such as B2B Magazine, Selling Power, The Wall Street Journal, Entrepreneur, Target Marketing Inc., Marketing News, GM News, Marketing Profs, Marketing Sherpa, Software CEO, and CMO Magazine, and MOUSE. Anyway, Brian, welcome to the show.
I'm glad to be here, Eric. Thanks for having me.
We are glad to have you. So let's dive right on into this. Complex sales, in that realm, what do you see, and it's funny because we were speaking a little bit before the interview here, but reiterate what we were talking about, which is, what do you see challenges for salespeople right now who are involved in the world of complex sales?
Well, what I've seen, you know, and for all the salespeople listening out there, has it gotten easier or harder in the last 5 years to get your foot in the door to talk to the right people in the right companies? And I think that's been the single biggest issue is this. It's salespeople are struggling to connect with people, and what we're seeing is that they just don't have enough effective selling time. So that's really the number one challenge for facing salespeople, and there's a lot of reasons why that is, but that's what I see the biggest issue.
And so behind that, I mean, what do you think is driving that to happen these days?
Well, you know, what I've seen is looking at what's changed is that the internet is taking center stage and has transformed the way buyers buy. You know, it used to be that the sales rep really could broadcast and be in control of information. The fact is customers are now in control. They can access information 24/7 on the internet, on social networks, on user boards. We know everything from pricing information to problem information, and really the salesperson is getting involved much later in the buying process. And not only that, what we've seen just in this economy that's changed in the past 4 years is just companies aren't hiring additional staff, so people are looking to do more with less. They're swamped with too much to do. They don't have time to think. And literally, salespeople are just dealing with the realities that the people they used to sell to don't have time. Not only that, the other thing that's happened is more intense scrutiny on purchases. So what we've observed, our research has shown this, is we own Marketing Sherpa. We've been benchmarking. We surveyed DC buyers. We found the buying process now, on average, for the typical prospect's hell, has 20 people involved. And that the number of people involved in the buying process has grown. And so, and also the level of decisions. People who used to be able to sign off on a $25,000 purchase at a director level, now it has to go to the VP level. So we see decision-making because of Sarbanes-Oxley and regulation and that. All those things come together and just made it harder. So it literally takes more work, more phone calls, more effort to connect with B2B buyers and the channels. And this is the final thing is we've been benchmarking marketing effectiveness of various channels of lead generation from phone to web to email and other things. And what we're seeing is that the effectiveness of various tactics are declining, and that's because our buyers are so busy, they're tuning out and they're focused on a few things, what's only immediately relevant. And so it's just hard for salespeople to get the buyer's attention.
So basically, we have two complexities, if I hear you correctly, we have two complexities increasing. Number one is because, like you said, organizations have shed salespeople over the past several years due to the economy. So the workload and the complexity of the workload, because now we want more reporting, et cetera. So the complexity just of the salesperson's job, devoid
of salespeople, it's harder.
Right.
But also for the buyers, it's harder, too, because they have fewer staff to get the same amount of work done, if not more.
So you have, so that's what I'm saying is you have these two, you have two, really two, the two sides of the coin have both become more complex very quickly over the past, let's say, 2 to 3 years.
Definitely. And what we're seeing is sales cycles as a result are lengthening. And so these dynamics could really squeeze salespeople that I haven't talked to any reps who've had their quotas reduced because of what's happened in the economy. It's stayed the same or been raised. So, you know, there's even a squeeze there on the internal dynamics that the emphasis on organic growth and new revenue has never been higher.
I have yet to meet a sales rep who hasn't had his increased. Increased, never see the same, still haven't found that. We've cut half that, we want you to produce twice as many sales. You know, twice the sales last year with twice the staff.
I have great empathy for everyone who's in the field out there.
Well, I know. And so I guess another question then would be, because of all this, companies, because of this overall complexity on both sides, normally when things become more complex, companies will channel more money to these problems, but instead they've been leeching money away from these complex problems, making it even more difficult. And one of the things is that since these companies want to increase revenues, you know, how can the companies increase the revenues without, you know, without the requisite or what's perceived to be the requisite increase in budgeting sales and marketing?
Yeah, the answer that's near and dear to both our hearts, Eric, is I believe the answer to this is optimizing lead generation. And what I would say is predictable lead generation leads to more predictable revenue growth. And why is that? I believe as leaders, and you know, a lot of you are listening to this call, I can't see you, but a lot of you are in the field making numbers happen. You also are, or you're a business owner, or you may be a sales manager. Really, you need to look at how do I optimize my time. We have the same amount of selling time in terms of hours in the day we work and actually engage with people. But how do we optimize so we have more effective selling time? And you know, I was reading a benchmark report of a survey done by CSO Insights of how much Chief Sales Officer CSO Insights did a survey of 1,800 sales managers, and what was interesting when I looked at their research is the number one or the smallest piece of time in the pie, you know, and they had it sliced a lot of different ways, but the actually smallest slice was selling. You know, the number two biggest time investment for salespeople generation, number one was selling and training. You know, excuse me, not selling, but travel time or training, putting together reports, doing administrative tasks. So that's where I really think the answer is optimizing effective selling time. The best way I believe to do it is to optimize lead generation because that's the struggle I see for most salespeople. The number one issue is getting their foot in the door to talk to the right people in the right companies.
Well, obviously, because like you said, this is our bread and butter. We can go on for 15 years. But you can take a couple minutes and maybe give the listeners, because obviously, I mean, this is you track this, you measure this, that's your entire business there is watching and measuring the effectiveness of things. So what are a tactic or a couple of specific tactics that our listeners could take away from today and say, here's something immediate, that, especially for those involved in complex sales, here's something immediate that you should be measuring or you should be doing that will automatically start to optimize your lead generation?
I think the biggest thing is first of all, I want to encourage salespeople to start thinking more like marketers, and that often we're looking at most listeners are familiar with sales pipeline and developing your sales forecast. But what I really want to encourage you to do is think more like marketers, which is developing a lead generation calendar for yourself where you're looking to build a marketing funnel for yourself. And there's three parts to doing that marketing funnel. The first thing is the biggest issue I find is not having clarity about identifying the right people, the right companies. And where I think a lot of effort is wasted is that I see too many salespeople spending time calling into non-ideal customers and wasting their time on lists that are ineffective. And so what I would encourage you to do is build your ideal customer profile and also clarify what are the key questions you need to know to qualify that someone's a lead for yourself so you can move them as an opportunity. So identification is one piece. And Eric, there's two more. I just want to make sure that we there's two more pieces to this. Do you want me to continue or do you want to follow up?
Go for it.
Okay. So number two is then initiating a relevant and memorable conversation. And what I find for most salespeople is developing what your value proposition is. I find that content is one of the best ways to connect with people and have a valid business reason to talk with them. And what our research has shown is when you're prospecting, you're talking to new people, maybe 5 to 10% of your audience is going to be actively in a place where they have a problem and a need that's great enough that they're actually put money to solve it and buy from you as a solution to that problem. And so what I want you to think about is how do you help connect with people about the business problems and their priorities. This is where your value proposition development is really key. Here's what your value proposition answers. If I'm your ideal customer, why should I buy from you versus all your competitors? If you cannot answer that question, and being able to connect with your audience, that's you're not going to win, and you're going to survive on ignorance because your value proposition really needs to connect with your needs and priorities. And this is when I talk about relevancy. Everyone you call asks themselves two questions. Is this company, is this person relevant to me or someone else inside my company? And so that's the thing that I found, that content can help you initiate, that it needs to connect. And I, in a little bit, Eric, we can talk about how you develop that relevancy, but I'll get to step three, which is most salespeople focus on, I'm just trying to get that initial appointment. And what I want you to think, I said 5 to 10% of your audience is actually ready to meet with you and talk with you. So you need to think about nurturing, which is, the answer there is, it's if I've connected with the right person, the right company, and they don't have a need, and they aren't ready to talk to me yet and go to that next step, what can I do to nurture that dialogue? And that's the third part of this process. How do I nurture that relationship? So it's not a question of if you can buy. In your mind, it's a question of when. And this is where you can develop a lead nurturing strategy, which is helping you take that relationship and progress them from being interested in getting some information from you to how do you progress them more to purchase intent. I'm actually ready to speak to you. And that's where I talk about building your marketing pipeline. Is nurturing, in my opinion, is the answer to that, because what it's doing is you're actually building a bigger and better marketing pipeline, which ultimately help you as a sales rep impact your sales pipeline. So those are the three things that I think salespeople could do. And if you want, Eric, we can dive into those, or I just wanted to make sure that I got through those three things, because that's where I would spend my time right now.
Okay. Well, we've got about 3-4 more minutes, so if you want to dive a little, you wanted to dive a little into lead nurturing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Around lead nurturing, what I would say there is that from a sales standpoint, we've been taught in traditional sales training that it's all in follow-up. I've seen, and the gap with most sales training is it doesn't teach us how to have relevant follow-up. So as sales reps, you're just what do we end up doing? I'm just calling to touch base. I'm just calling to follow up. I wanted to check in. And to your customer, you know what that sounds like? They know that that's code for, I just want to find out if you're ready to buy it. Are you ready to have a meeting? And what you're looking to do with nurturing is change your mindset from always be closing to always be helping. And this is where content is each time you're interacting with someone that you know that they can buy from you, you can begin using a strategy of a simple one, which is developing and finding content that connects with what you sell so that you actually are sharing information that would be relevant to them. For example, let's say you did an event, you did a seminar, and you educated your audience. Rather than calling and saying, look, you attended a seminar, I wanted to see how you've been handling that issue and if we could set up a meeting, what I'm saying is a nurturing mindset, instead of say, you take the takeaways from that seminar, put it into an executive summary. So this is where you connect someone and say, hey, I saw you attended our seminar on this subject, and we put together an executive summary that I wanted to share with you. But before I do that, I wanted to call and say, hey, people attend our seminars to answer questions. What were some of the questions you were trying to get answered? Was that for yourself or someone else in your company? And then you can use that content to help you share information that would be useful to them so that you're being a plus. And what we find is that 70% of people who eventually buy your solution, why should you bother with nurturing? 70-75% of people you talk to that aren't ready to buy now eventually will buy. And what you're really looking to do is, we found most companies don't engage those warm leads, and this is where I think there's a huge opportunity. And Eric, I know that there's lots of resources out there on lead nurturing, but I would say having at least one meaningful nurturing touch in your database a month is a minimum of people you haven't had a meeting yet. And I would say it could be as simple as sending out a relevant email and then making a follow-up call and not have it pitch every time, but you're looking to get a plus today. And I would start simple. And over time, you can evolve and develop that information. So that's a simple nurturing process. And if we had more time, I could give a lot more in-depth tactics and approaches. But go to Google. For everyone who's listening, you can search for lead nurturing. I know at the end we'll probably provide some resources and links for everyone, too.
All right. Well, we pretty much are nearing the end here. So what I'd say is, in the very near future, we'll have you back on, and we're going to devote an entire episode to you breaking down lead nurturing for the listeners. And
absolutely.
And different tactics and everything. So that'll be great. So as you were saying, I always ask, how can folks who are listening learn more about you? And you had mentioned something about some links or some information. So how can they learn more about you and what you've just spoken about?
I'd encourage everyone to visit the B2B lead blog. So that's b2bleadblog.com. And we literally have hundreds of articles on lead generation and lead nurturing. And in fact, you can go there. There's a search engine. Just type in key phrases we've talked about today and you can find anything you need there.
All right. And that was B2. Is that B-T-O-B?
It's B, number 2, and then B, leadblog.com.
All right, there you go. So definitely go on over, check that out, and obviously this is Brian's bread and butter. He's been doing this for years. He's a world-renowned expert on this, and I highly recommend you check out his blog and the information he's been telling you about. And Brian, thank you so much for taking time and being on the show today.
Thank you.
And thank you for taking the time to listen today. Now remember that the key piece, before you do any other kind of lead generation, you have to know exactly who you are looking for. And that's why I put together our newest product, absolutely free to you. It's called the Ultimate Qualified Lead Profile Toolkit. Now that's a mouthful, but again, it's the Ultimate Qualified Lead Profile Toolkit. It is an hour of video training, and it's an 8-page workbook with a whole bunch of questions to help you really narrow down, to help you really focus on who you're looking for as a client. But it also takes the other perspective. It doesn't just take the perspective of who you are looking for. It actually enters in a whole new perspective that most people don't think about when they're putting together their client profile. And that is an experiential piece. Your experience, your feelings, your mannerisms, the way you want to do things, the way you want to have things happen, that's also built into the system and built into the questions and is built into the entire program. So definitely go on and check that out. Again, that's absolutely free to you. Normally $97, but again, I said everybody needs this, so I'm giving it away absolutely free. And so to get your copy, go on over to guruselling.com/profile. Again, that's guruselling.com/profile, P-R-O-F-I-L-E. All right? Anyway, this is Eric Lohr saying thanks again for taking the time to listen, and always remember, you got to be a person before you can be a salesperson. Take care. Bye-bye.